Hey, we need your support to keep the podcasts flowing. Go to explorationsearlylearning.com/support to learn how. One of the big things you can do is shop Amazon with the link we provide. You buy your cat food, you buy your kids' books, you buy whatever it is you buy on Amazon, you pay the regular price. We get a small percentage of it. Everybody wins. A lot of people are doing it. It really supports the shows, and we really appreciate it. Give it a try. Thanks. Child Care Bar and Grill Podcast. Jeff Johnson coming to you live from upstairs studio. Yesterday it was like 90 some degrees and all hot and muggy, and then the rain came during the night, and you know, after the rain stops, there's that cool breeze that's just beautiful. How you doing, Lisa Murphy?
Yeah, well, whatever. It's like 60 here.
Oh, I'd love that too, because it's like 68 here or something right now. So, and all moist out. So. That's moist.
That post rain moisture.
Yeah.
But I'm channeling in my brain. I'm visualizing warmer weather and wearing my Child Care Bar and Grill tank top while we record today.
We might have to. I don't think we've even posted pictures. I haven't even officially posted. We might have to make those available sometimes. There's only two or three of them in existence. Hey, got a story before we pop into our topic.
Okay.
Got up this morning, went to the warehouse here at Explorations Early Learning Intergalactic Headquarters, which is the basement. But anyway, that's where all the toys and posters and all that kind of stuff are warehoused.
That's where the magic happens.
Yeah, that's where we do the shipping from, except I've had this problem the last couple of weeks. Well, it's been 90s outside. Baby kitty cat, who is a fat old cat, he's decided it's just too chilly for him, and he's decided to start sleeping on the keyboard of the laptop I've got set up to handle shipping stuff. And so,
oh boy,
because it's warm, right? And it's kind of you know that chilly basement kind of below ground kind of thing. And so,
yeah.
I noticed this about 2 weeks ago. He started doing this, and there'd be cat hair all over the keyboard, and then like the screen part would be like pushed back because he'd just like lounge. And so I've tried to train myself to remember to close the lid on the laptop to kind of prevent the cat hair on the keyboard. And apparently I forgot, because this morning he must have had a restless dream, because somehow in his sleep he's managed to rotate the display 90 degrees on the laptop just by the weight on his weight of his fat cat ass on the keyboard.
I thought you were going to say he ordered something.
Well, maybe. I mean, we'll see what shows up from Amazon in the next week. I better go on and check that. And so there I am with the mouse this morning, trying to get the mouse, because to go, like, the top of the screen is over on the right side of the screen now. And so I
got
to try to make the mouse move. And so finally, it took about 8 minutes to get it figured out right. And then I just rubbed him on the head because he's really cute. But that's some of the.
So did you fix it, or are you gonna have to like have your head?
Oh no, I fixed it. I just had to make the mouse move to the right places to undo what he did, because it was just,
it
was like eight clicks of the mouse, but because everything was sideways, I had to relearn how to use the mouse to go in those directions. It was as the so far I've been the most exciting part of my day, which tells you what kind of exciting life I'm leading. So, topic, now that we're 4.5 minutes into the show, maybe we'll get to the topic. On this last Australia trip, I'm walking around, and you know, when you travel and you go places, beaches and stuff, and there's always there's, I've been running into a lot of beware signs, all capital letters and the exclamation, and then the illustration of somebody falling off a cliff or getting attacked
right.
by sharks or or other sea creatures, jellyfish or whatever it is. And I started thinking, I was talking to some folks, and, you know, we've got this whole beware mindset seems to be what's surrounding early learning now, when I think what we used to do with kids was talk to them about being aware. Mm-hmm. And the spelling isn't a lot different, but the whole mindset and approach to things is very different. And so how did we get to the beware mindset that we're living in now?
Oh, wow.
And how do we get away from that? And how can we hone that, hey, be aware mindset without the exclamation points and everything? Thoughts? Maybe there's episode
when you
here,
first
maybe there's
tossed
not.
This out, well, when you first tossed it out as a topic for us, my very first reaction, I circled it. I'm actually looking at the paper. I wrote hazard above the word beware, and I wrote risk above the word be aware. And I know on past episodes we've talked, at least I think we have, talked about the differences between a risk and a hazard.
Well, yeah, I'm sure we have, but it's probably a good idea to recap a little bit.
Yeah, sure. So the idea in a nutshell, I mean, there's articles about this, and forgive me, I'm forgetting where I saw this original source. I can see the book in my head. But anyway, a hazard being something that kids really don't see, and that would be on us to kind of – that's that safety factor. And to use a very common example, like glass in the sandbox or a nail protruding out of the side of the climbing structure, right? That's a hazard. That's on the adults to be mindful of that. A risk, however, is an opportunity for a child to navigate a potentially risky situation, but there's a difference between a risk and a hazard. And I think, unfortunately, we've lumped them both into the same category, with it being more of a hazard mindset. And I think along the way, then we're depriving children the opportunity to figure out if they are able or not able to manage certain quote unquote risky situations, such as figuring out how to get the slide, just as an example. So that's where my brain went, is being aware. To me, that's a risk. And something to be aware, beware of is the hazard component.
Yeah, yeah. And I think we're living in this world where everything gets escalated and amplified and I don't know, given a dose of Red Bull or something.
Yeah, right.
And things.
Well, it's that litigation mindset.
Yeah.
The United States, at least, has been very, very guilty of being stuck in that kind of sue happy. What is it actually pronounced like litigious?
Litigious.
Like a litigation mindset.
Litigious.
Because I don't know how to say it the other way. What?
Litigious. We're living in a litigious society.
And we are. But I think that is an out. Like that's a ramification. That is because we don't trust each other and we don't have relationships.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
To me, it's one, I don't want to oversimplify because it's huge and multi-layered and, you know, we could riff on it for hours. But I think that's one of the big core nuggets, is that we don't take time to have relationships. Therefore, there's always room for us to not be trusting, truly trusting. And I think especially in a childcare situation, that has huge disadvantages.
Yeah, yeah, and
you know, if my parents who are coming to this program don't really get enough time to get comfortable and start having relationships that are based on trust, you know, when that kid goes up the slide and, you know, maybe falls off a foot off of the slide, the response of a parent who has a trusting relationship with caregivers is going to be a lot different than somebody who made a quick, hasty decision. I needed childcare yesterday. I don't know these people, but the place looked okay. And I read online it was fine and it smelled okay, you know, but I don't know anybody. So I'm going to be more suspicious as to what really happened because I don't know these people. So when you call me and say, hey, you know what? He was, you know, doing great work. He was, you know, using his muscles, but, you know, he stumbled and he fell off. You know, your response to that, a daily occurrence in a childcare environment, is going to be a lot different based on the trust and relationship.
Yeah, yeah. Like we say so often in the 400 and however many episodes we put out, it all goes back to those relationships. I think the whole hazard versus risk, danger versus risk thing, I think Tim Gill gets into it in his book, No Fear. The subtitle is Growing Up in a Risk-Adverse Society, and I think he touches on it in there. I've seen it other places too, but that's one I've just recently reread. When it comes to the litigiousness of the world, I think there's more fear of that in early learning than actually happening. Because when I talk about risk in presentations, I often ask, how many of you have been sued because of something that happened in your program? And it's very rarely that a hand goes up. And,
right.
And when it does, it's usually about most of the time, I'd say 60-70% of the time, it's hey, somebody did something dumb, like there was a staff person that shouldn't have been a staff person, those kind of things. But then I asked the question, how often did it go to court, and did you lose? And it almost never happens.
Interesting.
And I've been asking those questions for, oh my gosh, 3 or 4 years now. And so I think we're more scared of it than we probably need to be. As a resource for that side of things, Tom Copeland did a podcast I produced for a while.
I was just going to say Tom Copeland and Holly Bruno.
Yeah, yeah. And so Tom, there's I think it's about a half hour podcast that you can find on the Playvolution HQ site. If you just search Tom Copeland taking care of business risk, that'll come up. And he's got like 6 points he makes for kind of inoculating yourself in an effort to support risky play. He's like, have good insurance and have policies and take care of all that kind of common sense stuff. But from his lawyerly business side of things guy mindset, there's some good tools in that.
I think when I think of being aware that the other thing that jumped in my head was, I was taught how to cross a street when I was very little by the three words, I'm sure you know, to stop, to look, and to listen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for some reason we've gotten away from that as well. And logistically, that might be because to teach one kid, you know, how to stop, look, and listen, you kind of have the time, right? You have the time, you have the patience. But you're out with a group of 12 kids, it's probably quote unquote easier, although I would not say more meaningful or effective, to have them holding on to that stupid rope, which in my brain is a false sense of safety.
Yeah.
Because they're still not being taught how to use their senses to stop, to look, and to listen. But I'm on the rope, so I'm safe. No, you're not.
Yeah, you're holding onto that rope, and when the bus comes by and splats all seven of you, it's gonna be
right.
You're not only gonna hit by a bus, you're gonna get tangled up in that rope, and there's a strangulation risk there. So that rope's actually a danger, fucking rope. Yeah, I agree. And so we create all of these settings that give us this false sense of security.
But I think this comes under the general knowledge bit of stuff, and that's the word. Remember on the last episode when we kind of unpacked very briefly the four domains of DAP, and I said out in Canada they were talking about there was a fifth one, and I was kind of paraphrasing. It was general knowledge is what it was.
Uh-huh.
And like I'm thinking right now in my brain of a scenario of kids being at the park and somebody gets bit by a snake. Okay, it's kind of extreme, but just follow my train of thought. Had the kids be kind of been taught that general knowledge, even maybe that side coaching, even maybe that speakerphone and sports casting that we unpacked in a previous episode. Hey, you know, guys, it's getting to be that season, you know, be mindful of what's behind rocks and hiding under bushes, because this is when the snakes are out at the park. I mean, we used to do this. We would like put this general knowledge to the air.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean it's now longer on me to be mindful of this when we go to the park during, you know, what we used to call rattlesnake season, but you're teaching them along the way things to be mindful of. So they have that information. I'm, you know, throwing them to the wind and leaving them to their own devices. I'm not putting them in harm's way, but it behooves all of us for me to share this. So, you know, at the end of the day, I might be still taking a risk by bringing children to a park, but I'm also giving them tools to empower them instead of just staying at home in case there might be snakes.
Yeah.
I don't know. Does that make any sense to you?
Well, I think beware is it infantilizes people, makes them into infants. I think that's a word. And beware or be aware empowers. And so they kind of act in those exact opposite directions. I think that
beware tells me don't come here.
Uh-huh.
And be aware means pay attention.
Pay attention when you're here. I want to circle back to your stop, look, and listen for crossing the street. How valuable a tool are those three steps for just navigating life?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, when you're 22 and you're standing outside of a bar or a club for the first time, deciding if this is the place you should be, and it's 3:30 in the morning, and you're deciding if this is a place you should walk into, stop, look, and listen is a great idea there.
Stop, look, and listen is actually good advice, like, all the time,
because
it forces you to pay attention and be in the moment.
We might have to do a whole episode on that. Let me make a note. I don't know.
And yeah, but I mean, even like in a potentially not dangerous situation,
uh-huh.
but in a new situation, like I remember the first time I was traveling by myself on the New York City subway.
Yeah.
And I was visually and sensorially, both smell and sight and hearing, overwhelmed. And I found myself actually just going, you know what? Break it down and just stop. I mean, what's the worst thing is going to happen? You're either going to go the wrong way, so you get off and you come back, right?
Mm-hmm.
Stop looking and listening. Pay attention. What do you hear? What are you noticing? Do you actually hear somebody talking about getting off at the same stop that I need to go to? Maybe go stand by them, you know? But you have to stop, look, and listen allows you to calm down, to bring yourself in the moment, and to be aware of your surroundings.
My New York subway story is very similar. I'm feeling all that, and then I'm looking around. I stop and looking and listen. I'm watching 11-year-olds going home from school on the subway, and we figured, well, I guess if they can manage it, I can figure it out.
Yep.
Yeah, I think we should remember to do that in not only those uncomfortable bits of life, but also in the joyful ones. I hope when you're on your European trip coming up here that you make time to stop, look, and listen, and just take it all in, because
it's that
we get in this mindset where we're so rushed and so hurried, and we want the dopamine from our cell phones or whatever it is, that just kind of being still and taking in the environment kind of disappears. And when we can do that more in the early learning settings and out in the world, life gets just a little bit more kind of fulfilling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but I, you're not going to be able to allow yourself to stop, look, and listen in regard. I mean, you can be we can be very metaphysical with this. We can be very much like just reality based with this, but you're not going to allow yourself to even consider doing this if you're so hyper-focused on what you think you should be doing. You're going to always be thinking that there's something more important, something that overrides this, something that requires your attention even more. At some point, you have to realize that what is in front of you is what requires your attention, is what needs your attention, is what is worthy of your attention.
Yeah.
And to jump over that to get to something else because of some kind of Kool-Aid you drank, that doesn't allow you to even consider that stop looking and listen. I think it takes practice to do that. And there's times when I, you know, be like, you know, I can't do that right now. I have to stay focused on this. I can't. And then, but that's the exception and not the rule.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it's a hard thing to do, especially when you're tired or stressed or being pulled in a thousand different directions that we talked about before. Being here now is hard. Does it get easier if we try to build it
in? Anything you start practicing.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, maybe this is something that we need to actually clarify in our parent handbooks and stuff. At this program, we focus more on being aware than screaming beware, and kind of differentiate those things so that parents coming to the program understand what the mindset that we're trying to live by in the program is, and that kind of helps with the relationships, which we touched on earlier, but it also kind of is a clarifying statement for everybody working in the program and visiting it.
Yeah, I think so. I think there's probably room for like a training topic for teachers and parents of, you know, and it would be a beautiful session talking about risks and hazards and beware versus being aware and stopping and looking and listening. I think there's room for that, I think, to be translated both in a family environment and in a professional kind of early childhood space as well.
Yeah. Yeah, and to the people that put up the signs on the beaches and on the cliffs, and I've actually seen some of those. It's kind of like, hey, it's snake season. Watch out for the. I mean, that I've seen that kind of stuff walking around.
And also doesn't mean we don't want you here.
Yeah.
It means we want you here, but you know we've kind of done our due diligence because you might not be from here, so you might not realize. I mean, you know, the few trails that I've actually found during my visits now down to Florida, you know, they're not nearly as abundant as I have here when I'm back in New York, and I miss that. But the ones that I have found are just littered with signage about the alligators and the snakes. And you know, if you're overly worried about that, you'd never take the time to even go enjoy them.
Yeah.
Because you'd be scared off by the sign, and then you're missing out, you know, on that experience.
And, yeah.
I think that's with anywhere. You know, I love it when I see places that kind of let you know that, what am I trying to say? Like places that have been now visually, like I call it litter. It's visual litter, clutter. And they got the fences way high, you know, and the guardrails way high. And I think that deters people from even appreciating what the view might be.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Because there's always this already a perception that I'm putting myself in harm's way because we've overly like put the precautions out instead of just saying, hey guys, be careful. Just be alert. Be alert.
Yeah.
You know, there's a really steep drop 20 feet ahead. Okay. Duly noted. You've done your due diligence. If I fall off, you know, that's on me, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think many people have that mindset, but you know.
Yeah, especially when they're in cover your ass mode, which is why a lot of those signs get put up. The county or the state or whatever doesn't want to get sued, and well, you fell off the cliff. But hey, look at this sign. It's got an exclamation point and
yeah,
some
you know
drunk
what?
Guy slipping off the rocks.
You can put signs up all damn day. You can put signs up all damn day. There's still going to be that one person who finds a way to die.
Well, yeah, yeah. I mean, we've talked about we talked about it on the show.
Like,
oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm just saying, and then, you know, somehow thinks that they have the right to then, you know, sue somebody. You're like, dude, we had 49 signs up there. You climbed over the fence and you fell and broke your legs. How is that on my, how is that on me?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've talked about it on the podcast before. It's 5 or 6 years ago now here in Sioux City. There is an adult male who went down a hill on a sled where children have been sledding for generations, and he managed to get going backwards and hit a tree I think it was a no parking sign that he hit, and ended up a paraplegic. Sued the city. They settled out of court for like $1.something million. And pretty much have tried to kill off sledding on that hill, because this grown up jackass of a human being wasn't smart enough to roll. You get going backwards, you turn your head and you look for the trees, and then you roll off the sled if you can't stop.
Let's talk about this is that general knowledge though. If that was your first time sledding, you wouldn't know that. You know what I'm saying?
You don't want to run into a fucking no parking sign.
I'm just saying, if you grow up sledding, you learn that kind of stuff, how to maneuver. And I'm not defending this at all. I'm just saying, if it was you wouldn't know how to roll your body if you've never been sledding before.
Yeah, but
I'm very much reminded right now of an article Bev Boz used to read to us called How the Lawyers Stole Winter. And it was how in the town, everybody used to go skating on the pond. And everybody knew how to test how if the ice was thick enough. And that kind of general knowledge got passed down mm-hmm. from older kid to younger kid and older kid, and they're adults, and then they teach their kids. And then there was like this generation of where nobody was allowed to do it. And now you have kids, like nobody remembers anymore how to tell if the ice is thick enough. And so now you have a group of that. Now nobody skates.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we went from being aware to beware.
Beware. Mm. And then along the way, lost the general knowledge
yeah.
of how to make ourselves be able to be aware.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything else mm-hmm. on this one? We're coming up on end of the episode time, usually, end of the episode. But, I mean, we can talk as long as we want because it's a podcast. But
right.
I just think we should be aware of... Be aware of
opportunities. Be aware of situations where you find yourself going into beware mode.
Yeah.
How's that?
Yeah.
Wrap up.
Can't get better than that. Hey, people. This has been the Child Care Bar and Grill podcast. We're glad you're listening. We're glad you're sharing the show. Keep doing it. Check out Lisa at ooeygooey.com. You can find me at explorationsearlylearning.com or playvolutionhq or eeltoys.com. Come visit us on the interwebs and check out the other stuff we're doing, because we do more than just podcast. I mean, mostly. I mean, this is probably one of the more fun things, but we do other stuff too. Check it out. Any final words, Lisa Murphy?
No, I think we're good.
Hey, we're good. See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.